right, you're on the Armstrong Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And Bravo.
Thank you to all of our patrons for supporting our show. We truly appreciate it. Remember, if you're going to sign up for an independence training class, use the code PATRON20, all caps, PATRON, P-A-T-R-O-N 20, and you'll get a discount on independence training courses. So if you're a patron, take advantage of your patron capabilities. We keep saying every week, and every week we get more people saying, hey, I haven't got my swag pack. So no problem. Again, if you haven't got your swag pack, especially if you're a new patron and you've got, you know, you want the stickers and the patches and everything else, that'll also get you on our official list to make sure that we have your address and everything. So no problem. Just send us your email address, or send us your mailing address, I mean, to our email address, info@trainingaz.com, and we will make sure that we get you
or
your swag pack.
Or just directly at me.
Or you can send it straight to Drew.
Drew@trainingaz.com. Yeah.
And if you use that coupon code and you're not a patron, we will come to your house and give you a wedgie from hell and steal $10 worth of food from your fridge.
Wow. Dave will do this. Which these days means we will take 10 eggs. We have a lot of great upcoming independence training courses. All of our courses, for the most part, that we're going to be teaching are up on the calendar. Our concealed, our close contact handgun, our entangled handgun, and our new immersive courses, as well as our some of our small unit tactics courses we're going to be teaching this year, are not on the calendar yet, but will be. All of those will be happening in the summer and late year. So, you know, those are still up and coming because we're still settling on dates and locations and all that jazz. But there's still a ton of other stuff. So if you're looking to train with us, now's a great opportunity. And remember, if you want to host us, just email us, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll give you all the information on how to host us. So there are three stories that I want to cover kind of briefly here. There's a Texas man who kills an armed robber in a Texas restaurant. The robber actually ended up using a fake gun, and doesn't matter after the fact. And the Texas guy ends up really making a mistake. Did you guys see this video?
No.
It's been viral.
Where he runs up and smokes the guy.
Yeah.
So he shoots him multiple times. The guy goes down, and he basically runs up to him. And he shoots him again when he's on the ground. He essentially executes him. So
presumably, we don't know what he saw when he walked up there. But
there's always a lot of ifs, right? Yeah. But it's like this. One of my mentors, Craig Douglas from ShivWorks, has said that in most of his programs that he teaches, he'll teach that imagine your situation is about to be seen on a 1990s level video camera with one angle in black and white with no audio. You'll get lucky if there's more than that and it's good for you. You'll be unlucky if there's more than that and it's bad for you, because someone may pull out their high-definition phone and get some really kick-ass video of you executing somebody, or they may get a really kick-ass video from the right angle showing that you didn't execute that guy, but he was actually still reaching for his weapon. And again, we don't know exactly what happened, but it's pretty damn questionable.
Yep.
So the shooter goes ahead and retains a lawyer. He goes to the police department. He turns himself in, all that kind of stuff, and now we'll see, what happened. Keep in mind, though, however, that the same office that he's about to be potentially prosecuted by is the same office who let that armed robber out on bail.
Hmm. Yep.
So let's not forget about that. So, the justice, or the legal system, is a self-perpetuating system. Now, consider, we always talk about in our training, USCCA, United States Concealed Carry Association, and why we are, partners with the USCCA, why we talk about their services, why we push their services in our classes, and why we're all members of it. And this is one of those reasons. So they will cover you up to the point that is deemed not self-defense. So your lawyer's going to be covered, your incidentals are going to be covered, loss of work is going to be covered, you need rental cars, you need a hotel room, you need to get a new gun because yours got confiscated. All that kind of stuff is all going to be covered. So understand that, this is a great option for you if you're not a member of the USCCA. You find yourself in a questionable thing like this where, again, we don't know what he saw. But you need to hire expert witnesses. You're going to have to hire private investigators. You're going to have to hire a lot of people to come in and represent you. And all that shit costs money. I have been a paid expert witness. The minimum amount I've ever been paid was $2,500. And that was only to read a report and give my opinion on it. I didn't even have to go to court or anything like that. And so my point is is shit is expensive. You know, like that's a lot of money to throw because you got to pay, and most of the time you're going to need several of those, plus right. your lawyers, plus private investigators to maybe go in and find the real evidence or the right evidence or actually interview people, you know, outside of just relying on law enforcement interviews, which are absolutely imperfect and not necessarily in your favor. So there's a lot of people that might need to be hired and retained and all that kind of stuff. And that gets expensive really freaking fast, man. It's going to add up. It's going to drain your savings account. You have covers like the USCCA, which is like right around $300 a year. And I think it's 50% off when you add your spouse. I mean, it's relatively inexpensive comparatively.
Right.
And
there's people that are using this. They 100%. They publish a magazine where they put in testimonial stories mm-hmm. of people who either could have benefited from this or have used this to save them.
In the most recent article or the most recent issue, there's actually two. One of them is a cover story.
Yeah, I saw that guy.
And it's really good. It's a really, really good story. So, yeah, the USCCA, man, it's a big freaking deal. Especially for things like this, it might be a little – I don't know. Go ahead.
Just along that same line, not this is a completely different situation, but just to understand the legal system, there was a I just saw this the other day, a guy 37 years in jail. For raping a woman that he didn't rape. And after 37 years, DNA technology had caught up and they still had some of the evidence left over and he was exonerated and the prints matched an actual rapist, a serial rapist and murderer. And for 37 years, he was allowed, they let him out. It was Louisiana. And so the point is, we don't live in a country of equal justice. It's about money, right? That's why people with the most money get the best legal care. And it shouldn't be that way. I think that's 100% wrong, but it is the way it is. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the case, you need to back yourself up.
In D.C., a man basically murdered somebody. A 13-year-old boy was breaking into cars early in the morning. So a trio of young boys early in the morning breaking into cars. One homeowner leaves his home. Has some kind of confrontation with them anyway. He ends up, you know, killing one of them. So what's tough about this situation is that you often have people who are making decisions based off of very imperfect information. And they're doing this based off a very imperfect understanding of the law. They're doing it under duress. They're doing it under emotional response. And this guy leaves his home to go stop people from breaking into his car, which is the right thing to do. Society wants us to stand back and go, no, 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 no. Let them break into your things that you've earned and you've paid for. No. Let them do that.
Maybe we'll catch them down.
You call the cops. They'll come and file a report. Because by the time cops got there, these kids are going to be long fucking gone. They're going to steal your shit. They're going to break your stuff. Tomorrow, your day is going to be ruined. Because you're going to be dealing with insurance. You're going to be dealing with all that kind of shit. It takes forever, hours on phone calls. They may or may not choose to cover your things. Of course, there's going to be associated deductibles. And they may or may not ever catch the person who did the thing. And even if they do, they're sure as fuck never going to tell you about it. And so it's like there will be no justice, but sit back, call the system, and let the system handle it. And so it's frustrating for people. And I imagine this Washington, D.C. man, you know, no different. But it's tough for people. It's frustrating when you have to allow that kind of stuff to happen because, you know, and so the point being is here's a guy with imperfect information, imperfect understanding of the law and the rules. He goes out and confronts someone, which he shouldn't have done anyway. Shouldn't have left his home to confront somebody, especially with regarding to property damage. And when he did so, it turned into whatever it turned into, and he ends up shooting and killing a young boy. And then the worst part, of course, is the media circulates a picture of this dead kid that is several years old. And so he looks like, you know,
a young boy.
He looks like he's a tiny little defenseless kid, you know, when basically he's, you know, he's 13, 14 year old kid. He's just as capable of stabbing you to death or shooting you to death as anybody else. So, you know, we saw that happen with
George Zimmerman.
Yeah, case. George Zimmerman and the Trayvon Martin case down in Florida.
Where they put his school photo up. And it was like his middle school photo.
And yeah, he looked all, oh, he's just a good Christian boy.
And then you look at a photo from like.
He's like fucking 6'2 and weighs like 250 pounds and he's like this big fucking dude.
And wears big baggy clothing and his pants can't stay on him.
Well, the other problem with this too is, like you said, we just experienced this. We had a defensive handgun course where we had a variety of shooters, but I would say it was one of the more experienced shooter courses that we had. Like we had some really experienced shooters.
Very experienced shooters.
And we were all very surprised at how little they knew about, in general, not, you know, some people knew a lot about the law, but a lot of people that we would expect to have a higher level knowledge didn't have it. And there, you know, if you want to go defend your property, you have every right to do so, but you better know how to go about that, because there are very specific ways and laws that work in your favor if you follow them. And this guy obviously didn't follow them.
Now, there's a third story that I kind of want to use as a contrast, and it's a 79-year-old Wisconsin man shoots and kills a home invader who stabbed him. So the story is basically a 22-year-old guy follows him home from a business, and that's unclear exactly what happened, and stabs him, okay? As he exits his vehicle inside the garage of the home, so he's in the home for all intents and purposes, this kid stabs him, all right, 22-year-old kid stabs him. The victim's able to get his gun out, shoot the guy once in the chest. The gun gets wrestled away from him. The guy tries to leave, but he actually dies while leaving, okay? Now, here's the interesting thing. So this is a pretty textbook case of self-defense, right? If you looked at just the context of the story, you're like, hold on. So a 22-year-old kid follows a 79-year-old man into his garage, stabs him. The guy shoots him, appropriate lethal threat, and then the kid dies. Dude, fucking wash your hands of this one, right? Here's the problem. This line in the story. It's unclear if the suspect and victim knew each other. Authorities have not released their identities. The sheriff's office investigating the alleged crime is an armed robbery and home invasions. Deputies said they believe the suspect followed the 79-year-old man home from a business. What business? Doing what and why? And here's all the questions that oftentimes we read these kinds of stories and we go like, oh, this is a great textbook example of self-defense. 79-year-old man versus 20-year-old kid. 22-year-old enters his home, stabs him. 79-year-old fires back, kills him. Okay, cool. But we don't know if they knew each other. We don't know what the situation was. We don't know if they had a previous altercation. All those things are reasons why, if you carry guns for self-defense, you should be a member of the USCCA.
Well, and on top of that, too.
I need other people's help in proving this. You know what I mean?
You know,
I can't do it on my own.
And if you understand the law, then you understand that it doesn't matter if something happened at some business. You don't get to follow someone home and stab them.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, just that point, whatever happened before, the danger, you provoked the victim. Mm. Right? You went to his home.
Yeah.
You entered his castle. So
I'm not saying it's not going to be potentially self-defense.
Right.
But I'm saying that if there's some kinds of relation, let's just say let's say it was an employee, coworker, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then there's some kind of previous altercation. The prosecution is going to look at that and go, yeah, this is self-defense, you know, but but they knew each other. There was a previous, you know what, let's take a closer look into this. And then boom, just like that, you're retaining a lawyer.
Yep.
You want to retain a lawyer on a murder case?
Yeah.
It's $30,000 to $50,000. I don't care if your fucking cousin is a good criminal defense lawyer; they have to cover their expenses. It's $30,000 to $50,000 on average.
Oh yeah.
For that's a murder case, you may not spend all of that. You may spend way more than that. That's again the benefit of having an organization like the USCCA on your side. And if you guys want some more information on the USCCA and why we are into them so much, shoot us an email, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll send you over some information about the organization and why we like them. They also have a lot of other great benefits, like Dave mentioned, their magazine. They have good online training. They have a lot of other good stuff. But their protection levels are for exactly literally all three of these stories. And even that last one, which seems like relatively, like you said, well, you know, there's no reason for the guy. But you don't know what all of the details were.
Right. And then additionally, just so you guys know, USCCA is self-defense. It's not firearm defense. Mm. So it doesn't matter what you use to defend yourself. They're going to cover you if it's self-defense. Whereas other organizations that provide this kind of insurance don't do that. So just make sure that you're doing your due diligence if you research this stuff.
Yeah, you could smash someone to death with a rock and they don't give a shit. For sure. Right. And that matters. Run them over with your car. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here. So,
yeah.
All right, Redwire Gear Moment for this week. Every component, should have a purpose. And what I mean by that is it is very, very common for us to see people buy firearms, come to our classes, and you go, what's that on your gun? And they go, I don't know. Or they buy it from somebody, and they go, oh, yeah, well, someone else set this gun. Well, my buddy is a shooter. Well, my husband got this for me, and he said I need this stuff. I'm like, well, what's it for? I don't know. We should probably fucking figure that out, yeah? So As an example, we had a student recently who had a part on their firearm that was literally inhibiting their ability to properly operate the firearm, but they didn't know that this thing, this aftermarket accessory, was actually in their way, and it had been put on there by someone else that they knew because it was like, oh, you need this on your gun kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, you know, after watching them stumble with it, I'm like, hey, you want me to fucking take that off or what? You know? And with a quick little turn of a, you know, Allen wrench, boom, 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 the part's off. And they're like, oh, my God, this is working so much better. And you're like, yeah. Don't put shit on your gun that you don't know what it's for. Or if you buy a gun with shit on it already and you're like, what is this? Either do the research or fucking take it off. Or go to someone who knows and go, what is this fucking for? And do I really need it? And if you find that it's in your way, if you find it's prohibiting you, then it's wrong. So everything you put on your gun should have a purpose. Never put something on your gun because XYZ unit runs it, or this guy who used to be a SEAL runs it, or whatever. No one gives a shit about any of that. Every component. Yeah, those people are gun faggots. They don't listen to the show.
And less is more, definitely.
Typically.
Yeah. I remember that years ago I bought a rifle from a guy who built it for me. And it had a couple – it had the bad handle and then it had this little rubber grommet. I don't know if you remember me showing you this little rubber grommet that went in between the upper and the lower.
The upper and lower,
so it wouldn't wiggle or rattle or whatever. Yeah. Those things are gone from my gun.
Yeah.
Those don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So
I remember we started shooting. So I'm like, that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Take that off.
There's some movie where that, you know, that it could have been like a Fast and Furious or something where they're just like stripping this car down, they're throwing stuff off, and it's just like, okay, now.
Now we have a car that runs.
Right.
Well, it's interesting. People will see, you know, like my go-to carbine, and they're like, that's it?
Right.
Like, yeah, man, it's an optic and a light. Yeah, right. I don't have any cool shit on it. I do like ambidextrous safeties, I will say, and large handled charging handles. Other than that, it's like, yeah, I don't really put anything else on here, man.
Yeah, there's a few things we definitely recommend. Yeah,
good triggers, you know, stuff like that. But it's like, if you just look at the gun overall, and you're like, be careful what trigger you put in. Remember, this gun was built to run as is, just like a car. You can't just put a high performance part in a car and then not expect it to change other shit. Right. You know, so we have people, oh, just throw a suppressor on here. Okay, is this gun made for that? Is this gun made for suppressors? Is this gas system made for suppressors? Is this bolt carrier group made for suppressors? Oh, yeah, it's going to operate. Now, fucking blow gas in your face or cause weird, you know, feeding problems or whatever. Same thing when people see, like, you know, my daily carry handgun. They're like, that's it. That's it, man.
It's not even ported.
Just a regular. It's not even ported, bro. No compensator, bro. Not even cool color, bro. Nah, man, it's just a fucking pistol. Man. It's for fighting, bro.
Well, and that's, you know.
You gotta bejewel your fucking katana if you were a ninja 500 years ago? No, you're not.
I've noticed about you is you are even resistant to new technology.
I fucking hate it. That's why.
And you really have to like the high rises, right? The Unity high rises. That was like, this stuff's okay. And now he's got them on all his rifles.
I'll tell you what honestly was the deciding factor for me to get the risers. It was actually two part. The first part of, and I don't even have them on every single gun, but my primary guns do have risers on them now. And and here was the primary part, is as a collective instructor team, we decided to try one out. And so Benji put one on his gun, and we were teaching a night vision class together, and we're like, okay, let's put the night, because that's what it's for. The riser is for, you know, better acquisition with night vision. And so we're like, okay, we're going to do this. Yeah, passive shooting. We're going to do this timed. So we each got pretty used to the gun, and it was like, okay, all the lights come on, just daylight for all intents and purposes, because of course it's dark out there, but we had big lights on the range. It's like all the lights on, and we did 10 engagements, right? As fast as you could on a piece of steel, like 50 yards. And then turn all the lights off and do it with night vision, passive, and we were right fucking there. I mean, the time was like right there, and we were like, wow, that's cool. And then we grabbed at the time my rifle, which did not have a riser on it, and it was so much slower. It was noticeably slower, and then so that's when I was like,
okay. Time to spend some money.
And then I realized that back in the day, all right, when Glenn was a younger man and not all carry handles came off of guns, we used to put optic mounts, either the gooseneck mounts or the riser mounts that came off the top of the carry handle. It has a little hole in the top of the carry handle so you can screw a little mount in there. And we would put optics up there. Guess what fucking height they are? If you want to guess, how fucking tall do you think they are?
Exactly the height of
the exact same mount. Fucking height as the Unity mount. So it's like, you can also, by the way, for way less money, set up a riser with just putting a carry handle back on your gun. People will call you an old fuddy-duddy or whatever, but you know, just so you know, it's basically the same fucking height. So it's like, yeah, what was old is new again. But the point being is that that there is, like you said, I'm always resistant to I'm not resistant to change because I'm like, I don't like to change. I don't mind changing. It just better have a fucking reason. It was like Apple's. You know, it took Drew forever to convert me to Apple. And it's, well, the text color bubbles are different. I don't fucking care. You know, we could share file. I don't give a shit. You know, it's just like everyone, it takes better photos. My phone, my Droid took fine photos and videos. But then it could do, I'm like, I don't care. Oh, it has built-in SOS. Now it has something that I want, yeah. Right? Now there's a reason for me to convert.
Right.
And so my point being is if I'm going to convert, there's got to be a tangible reason for me to want to do something.
And now he likes the fact that we can send photos and videos to each other without it getting all screwed up.
That is nice. Since most of our people do run iPhones.
And FaceTime.
Oh, man, it's so much nicer because if you try to go Droid to Apple, man, it was like everything we would send back. You know, we'd send course photos or videos, and we'd have to send them through a third-party app, and then sometimes that didn't always work. So it is nicer to do that. There is benefits, but yeah. Still the biggest benefit that got me to convert was there's a tangible thing that I could fucking use. And already, I just read a story about that SOS feature being used.
Oh, wow.
To save a guy in Alaska.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Guy became stranded and wasn't going to die stranded, but just didn't know where the fuck he was.
Yeah.
There have been some problems with that SOS thing, but there's always some hiccups.
There's going to be, yeah.
You know,
I'm sure Garmin had issues with theirs initially.
Yeah, like a lot. All right, Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. On to our topic for the day. Or the week, I mean, emergency preparedness and stocking up on commonly overlooked daily use items. Now, a couple weeks ago, we did a topic kind of like this where we talked about commonly, you know, overlooked items, generally speaking. But now we want to talk about more specific. And we may have some overlap here, all right? So if there's a little overlap, it's okay. You get to hear good information twice. But if there's not some overlap, that's kind of what we're after, is more like the daily use stuff than just general information.
And if you have any issues like with overlap or whatever, make sure you email Glenn because he loves getting conflicting emails.
Love it.
And spending half his day answering those.
I will say though, to all of you guys, we just got a couple really great emails about like the Dad Bod episode, which of course we enjoyed making, and some other, you know, recent episodes. We love getting your feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And we like getting all feedback, and that's even feedback. And you know, Bravo's kind of jesting, but we don't mind when people disagree with us. I'm perfectly happy to hear that. Or if we miss something, or I misspoke, or you know, oops, we accidentally said the wrong thing. Like you know, people tend to forget when like we're doing a show like this. You know, we kind of just do it all in one big take. Like it's very uncommon that we have an opportunity to go back and we don't edit, we don't really review, we don't really do that. It's a very, very, very uncommon thing. We just kind of do it and then it's done. And it was even more so when we did it live.
Right.
Because that's like, well, you don't have a chance. You can't take that back. You know, so there was a lot of things where I'm like, man, I'm getting an investigation opened up on me. You know what I mean? Like, probably shouldn't have said that out loudly. But the point being is that, yeah, if there's conflicting information, if there's stuff we missed, if you think, oh, man, these guys could benefit if they would just tell, you know, listeners this or that or whatever. Like, for example, I've gotten a lot of feedback from you guys when we said last year we're going to start talking more about medical topics this year because we realized last year how few shows we had on medicine. So we're going to do definitely more of that. So it's like almost all of February is going to be medical shows. So just, you know, consider that. We got a lot more stuff. So your guys' feedback matters to us, your show ideas and all that stuff. It really does matter. All right, to get started with the topic, my number one thing, hands down, batteries. I do not understand how people run out of batteries.
Or recharge their rechargeable batteries.
Or recharge rechargeable batteries. When people are like, oh, my battery. Now, our kids, different story. They're children. But I'm talking about adults. Like when you are responsible for the household and you're like, oh, shit, we're out of AA's. We're out of AAA's. I'm like, how? How are you out of the most common battery you can buy at a fucking gas station? You know, you literally buy 30 packs of these batteries. You walk past them. There's not a store that you go to that sells common household goods that you do not walk past a rack of batteries. How in the fuck are you out of common AA's, AAA's, 9 volts, C's, D's? I'll tell you one of my most favorite Christmas presents I actually got this year was one of the lamest Christmas presents that you could think of. It's like one of those as seen on TV things. My parents got me one of those battery organizer like toolbox things. And so one side is like all organized. It comes with a battery tester right in the middle. And then it's got like all these organization. They're little slots so the batteries fit in perfectly. And then you flip it over on the back. And it's just like a shitload of openings for AA's and AAA's because that's what everybody uses. But the other side has spots for 9 volts, C's, D's. It's called like the battery saver. It's like one of those things you pick up off a Target or Walmart or whatever. As seen on TV.
A second one.
If you call within the next 5 minutes, we'll send you two and this free plush toy or something. And it's like, they're fucking cool, man. And it's a really easy way for me. Now I can just look. I just keep it on a rack in the garage and I can just look and go, oh, look, I'm low on those. You can fucking see it's got clear, cover.
I want one of those because my batteries are just in a big bag.
So mine before were I kept them in a box, like within their boxes, in a hard case, a watertight case.
Yeah.
And it was just like kind of chaos in there. Mostly it was chaos because of the aforementioned children who get in there and when they're like, I want a AA, I need a AA battery, but the only way I can get one
is if I open a new package.
Before we open the new package, the first thing we have to do is shake the fucking box. I don't know why we have to shake the box. We have to shake this fucking box, all right? We got to mix all the fucking batteries in. The second thing we have to do is not take from the packages that are already open. We also have to make sure that we open up a new fucking package because I know that Dad likes to keep new packages, and let's just take from that. And then the third thing I'm probably going to do is I'm going to use really expensive lithium batteries that, you know, we use for high-use electronics like night vision and things like that. I'm going to use that for, like, my little fucking barking dog remote control toy or whatever. Yeah, I'm going to use the really expensive batteries for that shit. So, and then on my way out, just for fun, I'm going to shake the fucking box again. You know what I mean?
Or
they put it back someplace else where it's not.
Yeah, that's the other thing is they like can reach it really high up, even though it wasn't that high. They would reach for it and then they would put it somewhere else. So you'd try to go back out there and they're like, "Where's the battery box?
What battery box at? Oh, you left it on the garage floor. That totally makes sense." So,
well, and I like that there's this transition with the electronics that we're buying now of a lot more rechargeables. I love that. The fact that my flashlight works on a rechargeable
stuff,
it's so much nicer. I can just plug it in, charge it, and I have to worry about.
And on the rechargeables, in that way, what I think is the daily use side that most people are overlooking is extra charging cables.
Yep.
Like the micro USB and the mini USB and the USB-C and our Apple, iPhone, we have like 4 chargers that we use on a regular basis. And so I think it's mini USB, I think is the little tiny short flat one. I can't remember what they're all called, but I think that one's a mini USB or micro, I don't remember. And then there's USB-C and Apple are like the ones that we use the most. I have a full set in my truck. I keep a full set in my go bag. I keep a full set in my hunting bag. I keep a full set at the house. There's a full set in our camp trailer. Right. Like, I want charging cables everywhere because one thing that people aren't considering is charging cables go bad.
Yeah.
They wear out. They break. Yeah. You lose
especially
them.
If you don't have a good quality charging cable.
Yeah, you buy the cheapy ones.
From the gas stations.
Even more so. Yeah, I've gone through more of those fucking charging cables than I like to admit. So it's like get the high quality charging cables to start with. But if you don't have enough of them and then you need them, right, here's a daily use item. We're using charging cables all the time. And it always blows my mind when people are like, oh, yeah, I don't have my charging cable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you rely on this piece of equipment potentially for your safety and your entertainment and your communication and everything else, and you don't have a way to charge it up? That seems pretty silly. So anyway, so there's that. On to a good list that we kind of started here. Daily use items, animal feed. Dog food, chicken food. Again, how do you run out of dog food? If you have a dog, how do you run out? Like, these are things I don't get when people are like, oh shit, I'm out of dog food. Do you ever run out of food? Do you ever run your whole house out of food where you open the cabinets and it's bare? Unless you're living in like some communist country or, you know, some, I don't know, third world shithole. Like, yeah, dude, we always open the cabinets, and as Americans, we open the cabinets like, yeah, there's nothing to eat. We literally look into a cabinet full of food and say, there's nothing to eat. You could live for months off of what we keep in our fucking house, and often I'm like, this is nothing I'm hungry for.
I hear our kids say, we're out of food, there's nothing to eat,
yeah.
I'm starving.
There's nothing you want. Oh, I'm sorry. What you mean is we don't eat fucking corn dogs. Yeah. Right. Well, that's what I meant. Yeah,
microwave
we don't eat corn dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at all the soup we have and all the stews and beans and Vegetables. Yeah, but we don't have any corn dogs. Oh, okay. So we're not out of food. We're just out of the stuff you want. But animal food, people won't let their homes run completely out of food. And we talked about that at length or the last show, but or the show before this one that we did on this topic. But animal food and letting yourself run out of that. What happens if there is a hiccup in the supply chain? What if that happens if there's a hiccup in your ability to drive and go get food? And people are like, oh, yeah, I got a day left. I got 2 days left. I got 3 days left. Like, to me, when I open our last bag of dog food, I don't know why I said that. When I open up our last bag of dog food, we're out.
Right.
That's when we're out.
Yeah. That's the way, yeah.
And so I go get more now. Not when this bag's out. Right. When I open up the bag I'm using as my reserves, we are now out. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's what we do. More. And I mean, it's important because the animals don't have a choice. Mm. We can go find food. We can go out and do it. They can't. They're not – I mean, they're relying on us to provide this for them. Mm. As far as like the chickens and, you know, we're about to start raising goats and so forth, right? That's a sustenance thing for us. It's like those chickens provide food for me. Mm. And so I want to make sure that I have food for them so they can keep providing, because they're it's a perpetuating thing, right? They keep laying eggs because I keep feeding them. So making sure that I can do that for a longer period of time if I couldn't get to something – you know, so I want to make sure that we have enough food to last for a good period of time. Mm-hmm. And along with that is also the water, you know, and I look at, well, I have basically two sources of water on my property. One of them is pure water that I basically just have 55-gallon drums, six of them, they're filled full of water. So I can have some immediate drinking water if I need that. The second thing I have is reclaimed water from the gutters on my house, and that's the water I use for everything else. Gray water, if you want to call it that. That's the water the chickens drink. That's the water we use for plants and our garden and everything else that we can possibly use it for. The beauty is I could also take that water, run it through a filter, and now it's water I can use
drinkable for water.
Everything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're just literally – if you're not reclaiming some kind of water, then you're simply paying the city to provide water for you. Mm-hmm. And it's just – it's coming out of the sky. Mm-hmm. It's like it's right there for you. Set up a reclamation system and start doing some of that. You just save – if nothing else, you'll save money on your water bill.
And I know there are some places, some states, and some areas where it's actually illegal to capture rainwater. It's illegal
to – That's fucking retarded.
It's the way it is, man. Colorado is one of those places.
That's fucking retarded.
Where it's illegal to – I would totally do it anyway. So my point being is – right, they can only enforce rules that, one, you blatantly disregard, and two, that you choose to comply with. And the more that you comply with it, the more that they, you know, can. They say, well, that rain, you know, belongs to the land. The land belongs to the government. Thus, the government owns the water.
What and if so, you own your land?
It doesn't matter. You only own so much of the land. The government eventually owns land that's far enough below you, aquifers. People have been in battles about water rights and aquifers so and how far stupid. Down, you know, ownership actually goes. And that's shit that continues to this day in places where – even here in Arizona, in places where, you know, aquifers are incredibly battled over things and water rights are still something they're very battled over in places like Colorado. So my point being is even in those places, there's still plenty of very crafty ways that you can, you know, reclaim water without being, you know, openly – too open about it so that your fucking Karen neighbor doesn't turn you into the government or whatever. But also consider that if you're living in a place where it's illegal to reclaim water, you're definitely living in a tyrannical, you know, draconian government system, and you should probably consider doing something like throwing tea into the harbor or something like that, because let's not forget your government fucking hates you. So yep. If you have the place where you don't have to worry about that kind of shit and, you know, you can reclaim water, for sure you should be reclaiming your rainwater at some level. Even if you're just got a 50-gallon drum out there at the end of a gutter system and it just fills up and spills over, okay, at least you're always going to have that 50 gallons of water you can use for whatever you want. You can use it to wash your car with. You could use it to water your garden with. You use it to as the dog's water. You can use it as a lot of fucking things. So I think that, you know, there's something there that daily use items. Again, it's water storage that people aren't thinking about. They're thinking about, oh, water storage means I go down to the store and I buy a bunch of water and thus I am storing water, which is a way to do it. Yeah. Another way to do it is to just use the water that comes out of the sky.
100%.
And when it comes out of the sky, it fills up stuff fast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if anyone.
It's crazy how much water I collect.
Oh, man. Anyone listening, who you can fill up, especially if you're using your roof or use a tarp system, or man, can you fucking collect some water fast?
Yeah. And one of the things I'm learning in this process now, I've been doing it about 6 months or so, is the seasons. You know, how much total rain am I getting over the course of a year? And if I want that reclaimed water to work for the things I'm using it for the entire year, how much do I need to reclaim based on the rainfall, that kind of thing. So, but I had it set up for 1,400 gallons, and I'm literally, after these last rains we had, I mean, my overflow spouts are just pouring out like faucets. I'm like, that's just wasting.
Yeah, I need to, how do I reclaim the water from my reclamation system?
Because I just don't know what I'm going to have. I mean, you know, in May, it may not have rained in here. You know, it can rain. It can go 3 months and no rain.
Yeah.
So you just don't know. So.
And I would say the next thing on the list after water and animal food and things like that is your more minor daily use medical supplies. Like, obviously, we talk about trauma and we talk about tourniquets and bandages and all that kind of stuff. But what about –
Band-aids. Neosporin.
Triple antibiotic.
Tweezers.
Burn cream. Benadryl. An extra set of tweezers, you know, a couple good sets of, you know, hemostats, you know, really basic wound supplies. You know, what about your, you know, your daily vitamin medications? What about necessary medications for yourself, whatever it is that you take that you absolutely require to stay alive? You know what I mean? Like, what kind of medications? And then look at things like, okay, what about your daily stuff like loperamide for, you know, anti-diarrheal, or Pepto-Bismol, or ibuprofen, cold medications? You know, when people are like rushing to the store, oh, my kid has a cold, and everyone else's kid has a cold, and they go to the store and they're like, there's no cold medicine on the shelf. And you're like, did you not know this was coming? I don't know if you know this, but happens every fucking year, you know, and if you didn't stock up on this, like, hey man, cold season's right around the corner. This medicine, you know, this medication keeps for a long fucking time. So let me just cruise right over there and grab a bottle or a package or whatever it is that you use. And cool, here we go. You know, and again, it's putting yourself in the mindset of when you open your last one, or when you open up your reserve, you're out. So it's like our kids are on, you know, a pretty daily regimen of, like, you know, really good multivitamins and some probiotic stuff, because of course they're exposed to a lot of, you know, dirty, disgusting children at school and things like that. And so when we open up the last package, I order not one more. I order, like, you know, so I've got like four or five on hand at all times. And then when we get to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm opening the last package, I'm going to get more. And that's because I still have a good supply of it. If at any point in time that supply starts to choke, then I'll go, okay, well, when I open up my, you know, my third package, because a package like of this particular probiotic stuff will last us a month. And so it's like, when I open up my last package, it means I have 1 month to get more. And I can do that right now pretty easily. I can just get online and order some more. But if I couldn't do that, if I knew the supplies were starting to get choked a little bit, then I'd go ahead and order a 3 month supply or longer maybe. And then it'd be like, okay, when I open up my last third package, now, you know, I need to get some more, because I may have to go through that other one or two before the resupply comes in, or whatever that may be, you know, a la COVID times when getting a lot of things was
really
months.
Hard.
I mean, it took us 6 months to buy a fucking desk for our daughter upstairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
6 months to get a desk. So it was like, there's a lot of shit like that where, you know, you don't appreciate it until you experience it. And I think all of us definitely experienced that during COVID. So medications. Another daily use item is I'm going to kind of break this into two parts, I guess, but part of it is hygiene that we'll talk about in a second. The second part is like waste disposal. Like, we're all pretty spoiled in America. We just shit in a toilet.
And it goes
flush
away.
It. Goodbye. It goes into Magic Land. We don't I'll never fucking see that again. But the problem is that what if that stopped working? And what if your toilet just didn't flush anymore? What if your water system got turned off? There's ways to manage waste, even in your own backyard. There's ways to manage waste. Do you have a secondary way to manage waste? Do you have, you know, the appropriate chemicals, of which are easy to buy and easy to store, because one of them comes in a bag, is basically a bag of powder. But, you know, and it's lye, right? So it's like, if I have at least lye, then I have the capability to help to dispose of waste properly. You know, you mix in some charcoal and some other things, and you can manage waste even in your own backyard. So that literally, even if stuff just stopped for a week or two.
I mean, oh my God, I couldn't even imagine with five fucking kids plus us.
I can, man. I've had a lot more people in that shit than Phil during the day. So
here's something you may not have thought about. You know, cat litter.
Oh, huh?
Fucking cats.
I mean, if you have, so I have a portable toilet, mm-hmm. and it has a black like these bags you put in it, and you just dump some cat litter in there.
Yep.
And
do your business,
and then you tie up the bag and you're done. And it's not going to smell, because just like cat litter doesn't smell horrible, right? But it works the same way. Just throw some. So yeah, I mean, even having like a spare bag of that in the garage, and a little portable toilet thing, boom, there mm-hmm. you solved your problem.
Yep, just like that. And that's an easy secondary thing that you can make. And if you don't want to keep the portable toilet all around, no problem, because that's a storage thing. And sometimes people have an apartment or they don't have a lot of storage space. No problem. Get yourself a toilet seat and a 5-gallon bucket with a bag of cat litter and your garbage bags you're going to be storing anyway, and voila.
You just created the same thing.
You created the exact same fucking thing, and it's just as easy to use.
Right.
So if you don't have the budget or you don't have the space or whatever to store a whole portable toilet, no problem. You can still make one relatively easily. I mean, it's not hard to build a field toilet. I built a great one time out of 2x4s and a toilet seat, and I built a no-shit fucking throne of a toilet.
No,
a no-shit throne of a toilet. What's appropriate? English language is so weird. How does that even work? A yes-shit. I'm going to start using that term more. Yes, shit. I built a yes, shit throne of a toilet. You guys can start using that if you want. Yes, shit. when people are like, is that true? Yes, shit. Instead of saying, no shit. No shit. Like, are you shitting me? No shit. Like, yes, shit. Yeah. Shit. You start using that. Well, like, throw people off.
The other thing to think about is if you're at that point where you got to build your own toilet, do you want to use water to flush it down? You know, I mean,
yeah, you probably don't have a lot of extra water,
right?
Yeah,
and so you probably want to conserve the water you have and not use that to manually make your toilet work,
because you, yes, shit, don't have any water.
Oh man,
just wait, man. We're together all for the next like 3 days teaching and shit. I'm gonna be using yes, shit all the time, but that's a really important thing to consider: is how are we gonna get rid of our waste, you know, and then there's other things to consider. You know, if you've got ladies in the house, you got feminine products you got to get rid of, yep. You know, how do we deal with toilet paper, et cetera, et cetera. So, and it's not a bad idea, especially with things like that. This is a really easy thing to do. And I know some people are going to shy away from it, but it's because you're a spoiled fucking brat who lives in a first world country. That's why you don't want to do what I'm about to say. Experiment with this stuff. Okay, kids, today we're not pooping in the toilet. We're pooping in the porta potty thing in the garage. And that's what we're doing.
Yep.
Because we need to figure out how to manage this best. How much kitty litter do we need?
Right.
Do I need a bag of kitty litter in there? Do I need a half a bag? Do I need a couple scoops? Like Drew said, I have a fucking platoon at home. Mm-hmm. All right. How much I'm going to shit in the toilet versus how much a single guy or a, you know, husband and wife or, you know, whatever are going to, you know, potentially have to use that toilet. It's a totally different ballgame.
Yep.
You know, and so it's like, yeah, you can't just, okay, well, hey, we got to pee, no problem, guys, just go in the backyard and pee. Yeah, if you want your whole backyard to smell like piss in about 3 days, especially in the middle of the summertime, yeah, you're just going to be pissing wherever you want. Otherwise, you're going to have to build some piss sumps. Don't know what a piss sump is? Check that shit out. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, dig a hole, big old hole, stick a pipe in it. Piss into the pipe. Piss goes way deep into the ground now. Now you don't have to smell it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Fantastic, right? How's that going to affect your gardening? How's that going to affect other, you know, plants and stuff you might have in the area? Like, these are all those kind of considerations we can start messing with now. We can start experimenting with these things now. Everyone wants to go out and do the cool stuff. Everyone's like, I want to go out and learn how to build fires, and shoot guns, and do medicine. Okay, practice pooping in a toilet other than a regular toilet. You know, figure out waste management. How am I going to get rid of this? What am I going to do with this? What's the most efficient way to manage this? How much does this smell if I add 2 scoops of kitty litter? What about a half a bag of kitty litter? How much is it going to take to make this not stink? If I'm using lye or I'm using whatever, like, what's it going to take to not make this stink?
And the other thing to keep in mind here too is, again, heading down a rabbit hole where we're talking about worst case scenarios, and we're, you know, I've got to build another toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm limited on water. Well, then I'm probably going to look at tapping into food sources now.
Mm-hmm.
And my food supplies. Maybe, you know, I've got a lot of stored food. But as we've talked about before, if I switch my food source, what's likely going to happen to my digestive system?
Going to be rickety wrecked.
Yeah. So so having to deal with that as well. Do I want, you know, diarrhea everywhere, you know, and I don't know how to manage it? Or do I have, you know, things in place that are going to be able to deal? Do I have medications? Do I have anti-diarrheals that I have just a little – you buy a bottle for like $5 at the pharmacy and just have it someplace because you just don't know how you're going to be able to adjust to, you know. And if you know, if you're counting on MREs, I would definitely look at another source.
Yeah. The worst part about when you get into like your daily use food, and we talked about this in the last show about, you know, replacing slowly, you know, your foods for reasons that Bravo's talking about, nutrition reasons, digestive reasons, reasons for like, you know, your kids are trying to get them to convert. Okay, kids, I know we were eating fucking fruit roll-ups and corn dogs yesterday, but today we're eating beans, rice, and an MRE. And your kid's going to be like, I'm not going to eat that. You know, you're like, listen, goddammit, it's the fucking motherfucking apocalypse, you know? And your kid's going to be like, I don't understand any of that. My worldview is so fucking small, dude. Where's the corn dogs at, you know? And so
fruit roll-ups.
Yeah, like, I just don't get it, you know? And then you have to battle that. And sooner or later, like, that's a level of frustration I don't need when I'm dealing with an emergency that's that fucking big. So yeah, the ability to have, like, again, from an everyday carry or everyday use perspective, is the everyday foods that you have, your everyday foods. I don't care if it's fruit roll-ups and corn dogs, okay? I don't care if it's all natural organic sprouts and soy. I don't, whatever the fuck it is that you're eating all the time, it better not be fucking soy. Right? Let me take that back. I do care. It better not be fucking soy.
Your Patreon subscription just went up to $40.
We're gonna fucking hunt you down. Like Dave said. Like Dave said, we're coming to your house.
And giving you a wedgie.
We're gonna give you the wedgie out of your nightmares, and then I'm gonna put $10 worth of meat into your fridge. All right?
Poison your fridge with meat.
All your soy, I'm gonna throw it away. But I don't care what your diet is, but whatever that is, that needs to continue for a couple of days, you know, or a couple of weeks. I mean, a minimum of a couple of weeks. And so you need to have that. That's an everyday thing. So open up your cabinets, look in there and go, just like we talked about for the animals and the pets that we have, like, do we have enough? You know, go back to the animals. Like, we have two snakes. They have kind of a specific diet. Yeah. You know, they right now they eat mice, you know, and we freeze the mice, so it's pretty easy to maintain them. As long as you don't get freezer burn, it's pretty much fucking indefinite, you know?
Yeah.
But there's only so many that we can keep in the freezer. I can keep 100, you know, frozen mice in the freezer. And so, yeah, we only keep so many. So, like, our daughter knows, because she's kind of responsible for making sure they have enough food, is, hey, when we get down to a couple weeks left, which they only eat twice a week, but it's like, when we get down to a couple weeks left, you got to tell us. Don't wait until we're out of mice. Oh, I just fed them the last ones. Okay, now we're fucked. You know, wait until we have a couple of weeks, because we've gone down to the store before and they've been like, oh yeah, we're kind of short on, you know, the full-size ones. So now you got to get a bunch of the smaller ones. Or at the time, there was once we went down there, the only ones they could eat were the smaller ones, and they were kind of out of them. So we had to go to another store, and it was just like they were like on their weird cycle or whatever, because they grow the babies, you know, when they were eating little baby mice.
Yep.
And so it's like dumb little shit like that that you can avoid, where you go, oh, it's no big deal. You're going to have them more in a couple of weeks, because I have a couple of weeks worth of supply at
the house. I mean, we already know that Maui can live off of cockroaches.
Yeah, one of our snakes went down the drain for like a month and a half, and then he came back bigger.
Like, so twice I'm not the really
sure what the fuck he was eating down there, but he came back bigger. So
whiskers.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, all these cats were disappearing in the neighborhood. We don't know why. But anyway, the point being is, like, whatever animal it is you have, especially if they do have a specific diet. You know, if you have a dog that has a specific diet, you can't just feed them anything. Like, you know, growing up, it's like ranch dogs, and I don't know what they – I don't even know what they ate. You know what I mean? We would feed them, and they would eat that, but I know they were eating other shit too, and I – they eat all kinds of stuff, you know? It's like the barn cats. I don't remember feeding barn cats, but they were all healthy. You know what I mean? Right. So they ate very well. And my point being is, it's like sometimes you have those kinds of animals that are relatively easy to take care of. But
and then you have Mr. Sensitive.
But for most modern pets, like our freaking prima donna dog, he can't have chicken, and he can have this. It makes his butt itch or whatever. So, you know, we got to be
– I wonder if he licks our chickens if it makes his butt itch.
I don't know. He's not licking chickens yet, but I'm sure he fucking will be. But the point being is that – if you have an animal or a person who has a very sensitive diet, you have to make sure that you have those things. You know, like for me, I'm lucky in the diet where I'll fucking eat whatever, whenever. I don't give a shit. I've got an iron stomach, you know.
But loves gas station hot dogs.
But that's not untrue. But that's not everybody. Some people are very specific to their diet. If they eat something out of whack, they'll get, you know, upset belly. They'll be in pain. They'll get cramps. They'll get diarrhea. They'll be, you know, they won't get the nutrients out of it. And then you're causing other problems. Diarrhea leads to dehydration. And like you said, if we're in the situation, now we're tapping into other resources we don't have a lot of. So all of this, the food stuff, I think is really important for people to consider.
And something else that you may or may not have thought about, but tying into what Glenn said about using, you know, practicing the poop. If you are storing food and you haven't – and it's a brand you – you know, I have a tub. I bought an extra tub when we bought long-term food storage, and we're eating that food out of the tub because I want to know what it tastes like. Mm-hmm. I want to see if it's any good. I want to know how hard it is to prep, all that kind of stuff. So that's – we're just trying one and saying, okay, oh, this is good. That's good. We like this better than that. So if you're storing food, make sure that you take some to practice with, to try out, to – really get to know what you're going to be eating, because you don't want to be in that situation and then realize this food sucks, right? So keep that in mind. And then also keep in mind from the standpoint of health, we talked about having these medications and so forth for us. There's some basic medications I think you should have for your animals too. Like for example, we got one of our chickens right now is jacked up, it's got a laceration. Well, if you didn't know this, there's a antibiotic or a kind of like a human neosporin called Vetresin that you can buy, that just a small bottle is like $20, and now we have that on hand for minor, you know, cuts and things or whatever that happened to chickens. And if you ever watched Chickens Mate, you understand why they get cut up. So from that standpoint, you know, that's something that we're like, well, we weren't ready for that, and now we got a chicken that's in the garage being nursed back to health, and we bought this stuff. So now one more thing that we have that we didn't realize we needed. So, and there may be some dog stuff, you know, we keep up on our heart guard and that kind of stuff. We want to have medications like that longer than just over the course of the month because I may not be able to get it again, things like that. So,
and in line even with like hygiene items is, and personal hygiene items, I kind of skipped that part. So I want to go back to that real quick. That's just your daily use stuff. Like, again, there should never be a time where you run out of deodorant, run out of toothpaste. You shouldn't run out of anything that you use on a regular basis. Well,
and how many of us
– you're like, if you have a comb, have two because combs break. If you have a mirror, have two because mirrors break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you have whatever it is that you have that you need, your razors. Dude, you should have a fucking year supply of razors. They're not expensive. Like have extra razors.
Well, they are kind of expensive.
Well, they are kind of – it depends on what razor you use. But yes, they can be kind of expensive. But it's like there's no reason why you should ever go, oh, shit, I'm on my last one without either like, oh, I'm on my last one, no problem. I got the other ones coming. Or, oh, it's okay. It's on the plan to buy them this week or whatever. Like these are the things – and it's easy for some of these things to get away from us when we forget, oh, shit, you know, I forgot about this or that or whatever. But it's really fucking important, especially with personal hygiene items, because that's what keeps you clean. That's what keeps you healthy.
Yeah.
And in that vein are things like soaps. Your shampoos, your soaps, the hard soaps especially, you know, bar soaps and things like that that you're going to use all the time. And don't change. Don't be like, okay, normally I use this soap. But then when I bulk buy, because my good soap I use every day is kind of expensive and because it's all natural, made from whiskey barrel juice or whatever the fuck, you know, all this weird shit people use. But then my bulk buy is going to be like the cheap-ass Dove bar soap. And it's like, well, do you know you're not allergic to that shit?
Yeah.
You know, do you know that that doesn't cause skin irritation? I don't know what the answer is there, but my point being is like whatever you use every single day, you need to have a stock up of that so that you don't have this other cheap shit. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I buy the really nice shampoo for my hair, you know, because I have these luscious locks. All right. And but then my extra stuff is cheap ass whatever, you know, Suave or whatever. And it's like, okay, do you know that that doesn't fuck with your scalp, dry you out, like make problems worse? Because I already have a lot of problems if I'm tapping into this shit. Yeah. I don't need more problems.
Right. Yeah. Well, and, you know, back to the razor thing, for example, having those razors, you know, we as guys, we can go for a while. But how many of you want your wife to go without a razor for 6 months?
Nobody wants me to go
without a razor. I legitimately have like a year supply of razors for Drew. Yeah.
I am Slavic and my hair is dark and thick. Nobody wants me to go.
So, yeah, if that picture scares you, Get some extra razors.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a lady, some razors, man.
Or get a really sharp knife.
Yeah. And then with soaps also comes things like detergents, you know, soaps for your dishes, soaps for your clothes. And again, you want to get stock of the same stuff. That way you know, okay, this I'm not allergic to this. People can be allergic to different detergents and you don't know it, yep. You know, until you use it. And it,
perfumes and
– yeah, I don't want to find that out in the worst of times where I'm like, man, I bulk stocked on this fucking cheap detergent because it was a good buy and now that I'm actually using it. You know, like you mentioned with food. Oh, now it's giving me diarrhea. Oh, great. Now I'm getting diarrhea from the food I never tested. Yeah. Now, I never tested my toilet, so I can't figure out how to not make my garage smell like shit. I didn't ever test, you know, my detergents, and now my skin is freaking itchy. And I never tested my, you know, my other soaps, so now my skin's all fucked up.
So on top of everything else, I've just created.
Also, planes are fucking bombing us, and shit is exploding. And God damn it. You know what I mean? It's just like. I don't need all these other problems. Like people like bulk buy toilet paper that they don't normally use. Well, this is the cheap stuff.
Like sandpaper.
And I'm like, cool, man. Go get some 220 grit and wipe your ass with that. Like, yeah, dude, I don't want any of that. So there's a ton of stuff. And we've got even more on our list. We don't have time to get to this week. But we have – basically the idea is look at your daily use items. If your pants wore out today, do you have a good extra pair of those pants?
Mason
Not
does.
Pants like them. Yeah. Mason has all of our old stuff. If your shoes wore out today, do you have an extra pair ready to go? Not like, oh, shit, my shoes wore out. I got to go get new shoes. No, do you have new shoes right now? Clothes, vehicle parts, like everything that you can think of, things that you require daily, things that absolutely you have to have on average every day to do your normal life. I'm not talking about going into survival mode and living off the grid in the woods fucking with bear skins and shit. I'm talking about like if you wanted your life to continue as is. Because when we're talking about emergencies, we're not just talking about the end of the world. And we're not just talking about, you know, some government overthrow thing. We're not just talking about some civil unrest. We're talking about you losing your job, which happens. Major corporations this week, Google, Amazon, have laid off collectively over 50,000 people just this week alone. We're talking about that. We're talking about one day you're making six figures and tomorrow you're making zero figures. You know, we're talking about today everything's going great. You work in the trades. Tomorrow you broke your fucking arm.
Or flash floods or we're talking about kind of natural disasters.
Basic natural disasters that just disrupt the flow of your life for a little while. Emergencies aren't always these huge, large scale. Everybody wants to prepare for these huge, large scale emergencies. Without considering the smaller things that just disrupt your life. I mean, you know, having babies at home and stuff, sometimes that is just enough to disrupt your life. It throws off your schedule. You're trying to get home from work. You take care of the baby. The baby's up all night. Then you're up early. And, oh, my God, I never sleep. All that kind of shit's happening. Just that little bit of life disruption. The next thing you know, you didn't make it to the store. So just having some stuff stocked up so that with even the most basic minor disruptions, you know, your friend flies in from out of town.
Well, we didn't even talk about baby shit supplies. Like that. If you got little ones.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other thing.
Oh, my gosh. That's a whole other.
That could be a whole other show.
Yeah.
If you haven't had babies, I'm going to give you the secret. Diapers. All of them. Yeah. And wipes. All of them. And a wonderful machine called the Diaper Genie.
There you go.
That's all you need. Now you know. All right. All right, guys. Our independence training moment for this week. What did we do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? Dave is actually going to take this one, talking about sharing trauma levels from the last show. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you guys listened to the last show, you heard us, we had a special guest on talking about the importance of knowing where you're going if you have to go to the hospital. And so I took that information and I took it back to my own tribe at my facilities where we run our combatives courses and I shared with them and pretty much outside of the doctor and the emergency room nurse that were in my classes, nobody knew about this kind of stuff. So it's information that you should share with as many people as you can and just let them know. It's not hard to find out. You can Google this stuff, find out where your trauma centers are. If you're traveling, the first thing you should do when you land, if you haven't done it beforehand, is to find out where the trauma centers are and the areas that you're going to be working in, that kind of stuff. Really, really important. And understanding what the difference between trauma one and trauma two is. If you don't know, then how do you know if you should go to a level one or level two? Know what those differences are and why I need to go one place versus another. And then I also, even the doctors weren't aware of Valleywise as the burn center. And so we told the story about the SRP story that we've probably shared on the air before. So That was just something we shared with them. And again, a little, well, not kind of surprised that people didn't know, but super glad to share that information. So one more area of prep that they can, they don't have to worry about.
And now the people around you know, which is better, because now if they need to transport you or their loved ones or each other, they're going to go to the right place instead of ending up at a lesser quality of care.
Well, we also talked about ambulances, and I told them, like, look, transport yourself. Transport yourself.
If you can.
If you can, transport yourself.
Don't wait. Independence Training Moment brought to you by Independence Training. You can find us at trainingaz.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email, info@trainingaz.com. We're happy to tell you what it takes to get us out to your area. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, MRC Phoenix, our running club, and the PMA or Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale location where Dave teaches his combatives programs. We are proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out the network for other amazing services that they offer. Next week, we're going to get a little personal. People like these shows. I don't know why. I think they just want to know that we're human fucking beings. I think sometimes people forget that in our lives, that you know, for all the things we do and have done and et cetera, that we're still human. So next week, we're going to be talking about another emergency prep. And then we're going to switch gears after this to a medical shows, but the forgotten emergency prep of internal battles and internal demons. So we're going to talk about, you know, prepping zone number one a little bit more and how we make sure we're in the right frame of mind to do the things that we need to be doing. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.